Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Carl, and we are on our Bible study on Freedomizer Radio on Sunday afternoon, October the 10th. Let me bring Raven on here. Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello,
sure
Raven.
Can.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yes.
All righty. We've going to start in a chapter, and I'm going to try and make this as, you know, what the Bible speaks for itself. But we've been talking
about that
for quite a while. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're just breaking up
Hello?
A little bit.
Okay. Don't know why, but okay.
Well, it could be on my end. I don't know.
You want to try calling in again?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. Let me hang up and call back.
Yeah, in the meantime, I'll just go through the phone number and all. Okay, no problem.
All right.
Go ahead. We are on October the 10th, our Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. It's actually with all of everybody who joins us. And we have a call-in number, which Raven is using right now. Let me see. Okay, any better?
Yeah,
I'll try again. Okay.
All right.
The call-in number, folks, and you can call in, and it's a free call anywhere in continental United States. It's a free call if you use your cell phone or a landline. It's 319-527-6208. And you can listen to the program by this phone number. If there's something you want to say and come on or make a comment or ask a question, you hit 1, and then I will see that you have a question, and I will bring you on to speak. Again, the ground rules, I must repeat, is that we want to keep the questions and the comments pertinent to the topic we're covering today. And we're going to go to the book of Galatians. We're going to be there for a good period of time. The other thing is obviously shouldn't need to be said, but we've had this done 5 or 6 times so far. Anybody calls with any obscenities, I will not even listen one word beyond what I hear the first thing. I will hit the X button, and you will not be bought on. I did just obvious reasons. Sad we have to, in a Christian, in a program called Bible study, that we have to do that. But unfortunately, folks, it happens. It's life. So we're going to go ahead now, and we're going to go to the book of Galatians. We've been talking about, we started off a long time ago about the whole armor of God. We ended up going through the whole armor of God. And then we went through quite a long session of studies about it's our choice. You either put on God's armor or man's armor. And it's a choice every human being in the world makes. Every human being. Once you're born again, let's put it that way. Let me add that caveat. But it's everybody. If you're not putting on man's armor, you're putting on God's. And putting on God's armor is meaning that you have now believed and repented of your sin and believed the true gospel, Mark 1:15, and you're now born again. So everybody has a choice. Are they going to live their life by putting on man's armor, man's religion, man's laws, man's ways of reaching God, just like Cain did? He worked hard and presented his vegetables as an offering for sin rather than the spotless, sinless sacrifice of a lamb who had committed no sin, which God told the first family to sacrifice, pointing to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And so it is. Everybody in actuality has a choice. And not making a choice is making a choice. If you never come to a decision, if you don't even care, and there's millions of people who don't care, as well as millions of people who are following religion, man's armor. If you don't care, you're living by man's armor. Cain didn't care. Obviously, he didn't care, even to the point that God told him, if you'll repent and offer the sacrifice that I would accept, you would be forgiven. And he wouldn't do it. He ended up dying in that state. So your choice, like the old program, Deal or No Deal, no choice is a choice. Now we're going to start a new session today, and the session today is going to be in the book of Galatians. We're going to read chapter 3, verses 1 and 5. Then we're going to go back to chapter 1 and start with verse 1. And we are going to show that Paul is writing the whole book of Galatians to those people who have been born again, truly. That's why we're going to read chapter 3, 1 through 5 first. So nobody can say, well, this is not pertaining to a believer. You don't understand. These people were never saved to begin with. We're going to eliminate that argument right off the bat. And I'm not trying to get into something controversial. It is, the Bible is controversial. Paul called it an offense. The cross, which is all the Bible is about, is an offense. But you've got to understand that these epistles are written to believers, and the book of Galatians is written to believers who started off in the Spirit, born again truly. And what did they do? They now were going to man's armor rather than God's armor. They were trying to live for God by their own willpower rather than grace by the Holy Spirit. They were trying to obey man's laws in addition to faith in Jesus Christ. They were trying to be their discipline. There is no discipline other than the cross and taking up the power of Jesus Christ that he gave you. That's the only discipline that will work. And if anybody be honest about it, I spent 43 years in a very, very strict, now, in 1963, the religion of strict works took a little turn towards being liberal and backing off some of their 1800-year beliefs and doctrine, say 1500-year doctrine. But the religion was one of you and your commitment, your exercising of your willpower, your grabbing yourself by your spiritual bootstraps and getting better. Paul is saying to the Galatians in chapter 3, 1 through 5, which Raymond will read, we'll begin with. Just want to establish with you folks that these people were born again by totally believing and trusting in God's armor. And then after they were born again, they now determine they're going to go back to man's armor. And Paul is actually, in essence, calling them stupid. Not Paul, the Holy Spirit, through Paul. So, having said all that, do you want to add anything to that before we go to Galatians 3, 1 through 5?
Couldn't have said it better myself, Carl.
Okay. I'm offline. I'll make a comment to you. Any one of you not feeling good, if you think I'm saying it, your judgment's clouded. Some reason, Raymond, I feel clumsy with this. I do. I feel clumsy with this topic, even though I believe it right down to the core of my soul, whatever that means. Okay.
Well, we know that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say.
Well,
so
before you even read, why don't you go ahead and say the prayer for that, please? Because this is very important,
right,
folks. It is the debate about this not being believers. You don't understand. They were really never saved. Well, folks, if you believe that here, you've got to go to the Holy Spirit who inspired every word in Galatians 3, 1 through 5. But go ahead and ask for guidance for all of us. not just those listening, but us especially.
All right. Heavenly Father, we just ask that the next hour and a half here, and really always in our lives, that you be the
Amen.
One to give us the words to say from Scripture, Lord, that the Holy Spirit be our only teacher, because we are really nothing without you. There is nothing good in any of us, as your word teaches us. The only good that there is, the only righteousness that there is in us, is your righteousness, is your good. And we just completely give ourselves over to you, Lord, for this program, and ask that the Holy Spirit give us all the words to say. Give us all the wisdom, Lord, because man's wisdom is really nothing. And we ask that you give our tongues every single word. And we'll thank you for it, Lord, and give you the glory in your son's name. Amen. All right. Did you say chapter 3, 1 through 5, or chapter 5, 1 through 5?
3. We're going to start with 3.
3.
1
okay.
through 5. And again, I want to highlight on this that these people are definitely those who began in the Spirit, and now they're turning back. Am I saying they're not going to heaven? I can't say that. The Bible does not give me any way of examining anybody but myself. But the danger
okay.
Paul is telling them, you began in the Spirit, now you're going to the flesh, which is man's armor. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?
Okay. Now, again, this is, folks, even today, comments about this explosive topic. I'm not saying these people in Galatians 3, 1 through 5 are lost. What I am saying is they began in the Spirit, and Paul is now looking and saying to them, you realize the results that you are going to reap on yourself if you now, having begun in the Spirit, you're now, which is God's armor, you're now starting to mix God's armor with man's armor, meaning going back to the flesh. Is that making sense? And I want everybody to ask themselves this question. These people have began with God's armor. That's the Spirit. Anything that's not focused on the Holy Spirit or come from the Holy Spirit is man's armor. That's all forms of religion. All forms of religion, and I define religion as anything that adds one thing to Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. Read that one, Raven. You've got
1 Corinthians 2:2.
The Bible saying. Yeah, we're not saying these people are going to be cast into hell because they're putting on man's armor. Paul is telling them, as believers, don't go back and now put on man's armor at all, because you will suffer consequences as a believer. Why do you want to do that to yourself? This is what Paul's saying in Galatians 3, 1 through 5. Go ahead.
For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Perfect. Perfect. Read John 15:5.
I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Nothing does not require a concordance. It does not require a three or four, a dictionary of comparing three or four different languages. Nothing means nothing. Now, the nothing he's talking about, Raven already said in the verse what it refers to. It refers to bearing fruit. And I'm assuming true believers want to bear fruit. You can't do anything without him. That goes back to what Raven read in 1 Corinthians 2:2. That's why Paul said, I determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why do you think Paul used the word I determined, I resolved? Because he had explored other avenues. And he realized they were all nothing but dung, according to Philippians 3:9, I believe. No, I think it's a Philippians 3. I'll give you the verse. Calls it dung. That's about as worthless as you can get. It's in the King James, the New King James Version, Philippians 3:8 talks about all his religion and all his superiority of religion that he was in Judaism being nothing but dung. It's in Philippians 3:8 if you have the King James or New King James Version. Raven, what is your version? Does yours say dung or does it say rubbish?
Mine says rubbish.
Rubbish.
Yes,
okay,
mine says
thing.
Rubbish.
Garbage. It's garbage.
Yes.
This is what I'm saying. We're now looking at what are the results of you as a believer who are born again by strictly God's armor, nothing else, because we can't do anything, including be born again, except through Christ and him crucified. That is the only object of our faith we can have. This is all about what is the object of your faith. If Christ alone, 1 Corinthians 2:2, I determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. If that is the object of your faith, the Holy Spirit will do what you cannot do, and that is to keep you walking in the Spirit. Walking in the flesh is when you willingly now put on man's armor. You're reading man's word. You're reading man's way to please God, man's interpretation of the Bible. Why do you not want to go to the one, the Holy Spirit who inspired every word and read a word-for-word translation? Now, I use that. I don't want to include paraphrased versions of the Bible. Am I saying don't read them? No, but they are what it says. They're a commentary. Why would we not take a word-for-word translation and read that to see what the Holy Spirit's saying? And that's what Paul's saying. You began by believing the words of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way you can be saved. You began in the Spirit, and now you're trying to live for God back to the flesh, back to man's armor. This is not saying that these people are going to hell, and I'm not inferring that because the Bible doesn't say it. There are a possibility, and we'll see in later chapters, that it would have eternal consequences, but we'll get to that. We're not there yet. He's saying, why do you want to now? Raven, you're born again. Very easy for Raven or I to get some silver-tongued person who says such good things, and we get hooked into them. And Paul would be saying, why? You began in the Spirit. You're even doing the work of an evangelist or doing the work of a teaching the Bible or explaining Scripture. Why do you want to go back now to man's armor? You see the danger that Paul is talking to these people in Galatians 3:1-5. He's actually, I think that Paul is, I would love to know what the original language says. Read one again, Galatians 3:1. I'd love to know what this word bewitched, what he really said to him.
I would actually have a I would actually have that here.
Okay.
What it actually says.
Read the friendly term. Read the friendly part.
Okay.
In Galatians.
Galatians 1:5. Did you say or 3:5?
3:1.
Oh, 3:1. Excuse me. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?
And who obey the truth? What is the truth? John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let man interpret the Bible. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey
Galatians.
The truth? That is not Raven's truth or Carl's truth. It is the God's armor. There is only one truth. Let the Bible explain the Bible. John 14:6. There is only one truth, Jesus Christ. Read John 14:6, folks, on your own. Okay, Raven, these words bewitched you and foolish Galatians. Do you have any idea what he really said?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. One moment.
That's fine. No problem. Don't worry. We got, if you can't do it in an hour and 8 minutes.
Galatians 3. Hold on. I got to get my eyes on.
Go right ahead. Don't worry about it. No problem. No problem.
Yeah, when I'm looking up something
in these books,
they're really.
I'm looking at a word-for-word translation, the King James, but you may have the New King James. You may have an NASB. You may have an NIV. Let's not get into arguments about which Bible is the best and which isn't. They're word-for-word translations. That's as good as we're going to get. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. But I would like to know what the Holy Spirit actually wrote in Galatians 3:1, where he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" If
yes.
There's a record.
One moment here. Yes, I have.
I didn't know there was a record. There is a record of it. Okay.
Yes. Hold on. I'm looking that up right now.
What's it going back to, the original Greek or Aramaic?
Yes, I have a. Strong's Concordance, which gives the. It gives the actual translation.
Gotcha. Okay. I didn't
see,
know.
And it's,
I got
and it's listed as bewitched. Yes. 940. Hold on. It just takes me a moment to look it up. So.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
That. And then I want to look up foolish.
All right. I have a couple of different things that I'm able to look things up in. So, okay, here we go. It actually means to malign, to fascinate by false representations. That's really interesting. And so, in other words, it pulls you away from what you from what you believe by false representations. So it fascinates you. It gets you interested in something else by these other ideas. It's that same idea as
Raven?
Those itching ears.
Yep.
You know, remember
yep,
the one that, that the
think...
verse that talks about itching ears?
I think fascinate, the word you use, fascinate. Hold on. The word you use, fascinate, I think is a very good word. That's how I was led into false doctrine, Raven. And you know I wandered in it for 10 to 12 years. I was fascinated.
Yes.
It sounded wonderful.
Yes.
I'm going to be a little bit better than the average Christian because I do this and they don't. I was sucked into that stuff, folks. That's a good one. I like that. Fascinated. Now, what about foolish?
Yes. Foolish. Okay. Let me see what foolish says here.
Well, you would say I'm a dipstick, but they didn't have dipsticks for oil in those days. What is foolish?
Foolish. Let me see here. I think that's really good too. Fascinate. Yeah, it's
it is
foolish.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
we're taking our minds off of Christ and His armor, and we're putting on man's armor, which is pleasing. It's good. It's pleasing to the eyes. It's pleasing to the taste.
Foolish.
It's pleasing to the flesh. That's just exactly the three things that Eve was sucked in on. It looked good, it tasted good, and it was pleasing to the flesh, meaning pride. That's what fascinates us about man's armor. It does fascinate us, folks. I've spent 12 years in the cesspool.
Foolish. It's actually means unintelligent, even sensual, and that doesn't mean sensual as in the idea that we might have, but sensual of the senses, you know, foolish, unwise, unintentional unintelligent is that whole idea. In other words, you're looking at things that don't even make sense.
Raven, do you see what these words that you just gave are? And what Raven's reading is what the words actually were in the Aramaic or the Greek, whichever the writing was originally. And this is the Holy Spirit talking, folks. Foolish and bewitched are the words that we've got in there. He said, this is, remember, every word in this book is inspired by the Holy Spirit. You see what the Holy Spirit is telling to Carl when 10 to 12 years of his life, he wasted as much as he was able to. Not that he was going to go to hell for it. It's not a yo-yo morality. But he wasted by foolishness, by unintelligence, by being stupid, by putting on man's armor and following man rather than people preaching strictly out of the Bible. Does that make sense, folks?
Exactly.
Don't make it anything I'm not saying. People jump all over me like dark on midnight that I've got no right to say someone's going to hell once they're born. I'm not saying that. This is the danger of putting on man's armor once you've escaped it.
Right.
Okay. And then he says,
I like how you just said that you're not saying any particular person is going to hell, but we must examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5.
Raven, that's what I get jumped for. Well, you have no right to say they're going to hell. They're 100 miles ahead of me. I'm only saying what the scripture's saying. Don't put on man's armor once you've already been saved by God's armor. Why are you so foolish to do that? That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
But people that don't want to accept what the scripture says, they now attack the one saying it, which unfortunately in this case was me, and say, oh, you have no right. In other words, where am I saying they're going to hell? So now I start explaining I'm not saying they're going to hell. So we just like, Raven, it's like any other argument. I don't agree with you, so I'm going to start attacking you, put you on the defense. And this has nothing
absolutely
to do with what I think. This has nothing to do with me, folks. I want you to read what the Bible says. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
So with verse 2, Paul says, I only want to know one thing from you. You received the Spirit. See, there again, they're truly saved. Don't say that we're never saved. You received the Spirit. How did you do it? By obeying the law? By the works of the law, meaning obeying what the law told you in your own strength? Or by faith? You can't obey the law of God. You can't obey the Ten Commandments in your own strength.
Paul is saying
you're trying to obey the commandments in your own strength. You can't. You can only do it by the hearing of faith. Faith in what? 1 Corinthians 2:2. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Add anything to that, and the gospel becomes of none effect. Galatians 5:2. You add anything to Christ and Him crucified, Galatians 5:2, the Christ becomes of no effect. In fact,
Amen.
When you read, Raven, read 5:2 and 5:4. 5:2 and 5:4.
All right. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. You have become estranged from Christ, estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Estranged. It means you don't know him anymore, and he does not know you.
This is not Raven speaking, folks. This is the Holy Spirit. Now, let's make sure we dissect what he's saying in 5, 2, and 4. He's not saying you're going to hell. Only the Holy Spirit knows when you cross the line. But he's saying you are now cut off from the vine. Remember, Raven, when you read John 15:5, Christ says in red, I am the branch. You are the vine. If the vine is cut off from the branch, it has no way of nourishing yourself. Why? Why are you now putting yourself in a position in Galatians 5:2 where you're depending on circumcision? Okay, let's throw that one away because everybody laughs. How can women be circumcised? No, let's take baptism. Let's take any of the Ten Commandments. If you're depending on your ability to overcome and to abide by one commandment, you are doing exactly what they're doing here. I'm not saying you don't have to obey the commandments, but you can't do it in your own flesh, in your own ability. That's why Paul says, are you now trying to obey the law in Galatians 3:2? By works of the law, meaning your ability, or hearing of faith? Are you now trying to live for God by the armor of God, which is the words of the Holy Spirit inspired in the Bible? Or are you going to man's wisdom, man's armor? Raven, it's a tough question to answer, but if this was something you've never heard, am I saying it so it makes sense?
Oh, it does. I mean, to me, it's very cut and dried. There really is, I mean, listen, I have a cross reference for this in Colossians 2, verses 20 to 23.
Oh, I love that.
Therefore,
I don't know the verses by memory, but I know exactly where you're going. Let's look at it.
All right.
Colossians. In other words, why would you go back to the beggarly elements? Yeah, go ahead.
Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. He is
telling this to believers.
Yes.
The believers.
He's saying,
because
look here.
Unbelievers don't have that choice. They're only in the flesh.
Yes.
That's
perfect. He's saying, what is wrong with you? He's basically saying the same thing as Galatians 3, 1 through 5. Stop going back to the flesh. Why are you worried about the things of the world? Worry about the things of the Spirit.
Amen. Absolutely.
In fact,
perfect.
If we go to the next verse, I should write this in my notes here too, because I don't know why I didn't. Colossians 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your things on things above, not on things on the earth. I got to add that.
And this was Colossians 3.
Uh-huh. Actually, Colossians 3,
reading,
chapter 2, verse 20 through 3.
Wait, Colossians
verse
chapter 2. 3 or 2? hold on. Colossians chapter 3 or
Colossians 2 verse 20 through Colossians 3 verse 2.
Okay, nope, I got it.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Colossians 2, yes. He's saying the same thing. Christ was the total object of your faith. In other words, you depended on nothing but his sacrifice on the cross to give you everything. Why are you now going back to man's foolishness, man's wisdom, man's trickery, man's false religion? In fact, I'm going to go show you folks where I lived for 43 years. This describes me exactly for 43 years. Go ahead and read. And I was not a believer, but I was hooked by this. Read 20, 21, 22 again. This is why I lived for 22 years. Now, what we're saying to Carl, when you, for 10 years after you were saved, you went back to this stupidity of 20 through 22. Why are you doing it? You know you suffered from religion for 43 years. Now, just imagine this, Raven. I'm an unbeliever, and now I believe. Yeah. And now I'm going back and putting man's armor again. You're going to say to me, verse 20 through 23, why are you going back to where you lived for 43 years and you know what's wrong? Go ahead.
Right. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men.
The doctrines and commandments of men. That's exactly what man's armor is, folks. And Raven could be talking to me at 60 years old and said, Carl, for 43 years, you live by these rules of do not taste, do not touch, do not handle, commandments and doctrines of men. Now you've been born again. Why did you go back for 10 to 12 years and put yourself under this subjection again? Is that making sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. Yes. Oh, yes.
Self-imposed.
In self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh.
And folks, the denomination, or well, I wouldn't even call it that, the religion I was in from 1943 until, well, say 48, 49, when I was like 5, 6 years old, where I started to understand right from wrong, until 1986. Why do you want to go back to that, Carl? Well, imagine Raven having this conversation with me. And yet I did, folks.
Right.
And I'm not saying I wasn't going to go to hell, in my opinion, even looking back on it, but I subjected myself to 10 to 12 years of foolishness and aggravation and anything but peace. Why would you want to do it? Why as a believer?
Yes.
Carl did it. This is true confession, even though I don't even know if the magazine still exists. I am telling you I did it. Don't subject yourself to that, folks. I'm going to tell you right off the button here, I made a mistake. Let's say I did it again. Raven would come up to me and says, how stupid can you be? She says that to me offline, but she said to me, how can you do this again? You see where, Raven, though, seriously, you could see me doing this again, and you could come to me and say, don't go back where you've been.
Yes, yes. You
I
know,
love that, Colossians.
Carl.
Am I glad you brought that up? Yeah.
Well, you know, let me tell you something, Carl. Let me tell you, take just a
You're
couple minutes here and tell.
Well, folks, hold on. She tells me things from Monday morning till Sunday morning. Go ahead.
Well, back in the day, this is before I was saved, but when I thought I was saved, okay? And God saved me out of this horrendousness. I was going to a church which I shall not say, I shall not name. It was a denomination which claims salvation. Okay, let me tell you that I'm sure that there are many people in this denomination that actually are saved, and there are many that are not. Okay, there are many that are not because of a false understanding of salvation. All right. And I'm quite sure that there are churches within this denomination that preach true salvation, and there are churches that do not, just like in the rest of the world. You know what I mean? There are some churches that are preaching the truth and some that do not. And
even hardline denominations. Our pastor talked about that today in his message.
Uh-huh.
If they're not preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, folks, they're not preaching the true way to salvation. But go ahead.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. I believe that God can touch anyone. The Holy Spirit can touch anyone anywhere. You know,
absolutely.
God can use anyone, and He
right.
uses His word. So even though you might be in a church which you might consider, we might, as Christians, may consider a church that is very legalistic, that does not believe in salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, even though we may believe that that church does not teach that, someone might be touched by the Holy Spirit through the word, okay, and I, you know what
that's
I mean by that, Carl. You know what I'm.
That's the only way you can be touched by the Holy Spirit is through His word. That's God's armor,
right?
Not man's armor. No, you're right on. I'm
right.
agreeing with it.
Right. You know. So a pastor or priest or whatever may read scripture. Not intending to preach Christ alone, but he may read a couple of verses of scripture, and God okay. will use that to touch someone. You see what I mean?
Okay, now, Raven, let's take two examples of that. Pharaoh.
Uh-huh.
God used Pharaoh to convert people. Now, let's take the example that you, when we're offline and you're not being polite, compare me to. God used a jackass to preach the gospel to Balaam, and he did it.
Carl.
She's laughing because she's guilty. Go ahead. No, that's right. God can use anybody to preach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I, many years ago, thought I was saved because someone simply came up to me and said, you know, repeat after me, you know. But I was feeling convicted, all right?
Distinction.
Right.
Conviction is not necessarily salvation, but it leads to it. Without it, you can't repent.
Right. I was feeling convicted, but unfortunately, I didn't get saved that day because I didn't really have full understanding of Christ's sacrifice, okay? The person that attempted to lead me to Christ did not, you know, explain, you know, like, look, this is what, you know, Christ did for you, and this is, you know, all they did was say, okay, repeat after me, and I did so, and I still was left not with no understanding. Okay, so here's what happened because of that. What happened because of that was I began trying to work my way to God. I thought that what I had to do now was find a way for me to become better. I just kept, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. And so what happened was the more I tried, the worse I got. I kept doing things like, listen, I was reading scripture and taking, instead of reading what, because I wasn't saved, the Holy Spirit was not getting through to me, and I was reading all kinds of things in here and taking them out of context, not understanding that it was, that I was supposed to be allowing the Holy Spirit. And let me give one example. We've talked about this before, Carl, and that is how the Holy Spirit is our covering. But instead, what I did was think that that as women, we had to actually wear a head covering. And there are, you know, there's Amish and there's other groups that follow this belief, not just the Amish and not just the Mennonites.
Roman Catholicism, the women had to. And I'm talking from the late 40s when I started going to the church, they had to wear the head covering or they would not go into church. And I stopped going in 66. But the head covering is nothing. What the head covering is referring to is Jesus Christ is our covering.
Exactly.
But no,
well,
I understand
there
you.
Are
but the
other...
point is, Raven, I want to bring this back to where were you? I want to hear where you were.
That's where I'm going.
Man's armor. Go ahead.
Yes, okay. And that's where I was. I was in a church that believed very much, you know, in wearing only dresses and not cutting your hair and all these kind of things. And so, you know, and all this kind of stuff was going on in my life. And so one day I was in that church and there was a missionary or a visiting preacher, whatever you want to call him. There was a visiting preacher and I can't exactly tell you how his preaching went because it doesn't really matter. What matters is I remember him preaching something similar to, you know, to this, listen, examine yourself. Do you really know Christ when you were, you know, if you believe that you were you saved because you understood, you know, what he did for you and that you accepted him as your Lord and Savior and you repented? Or did you just pray a prayer and say, you know, okay, yes, you know, I ask you into my heart? And the Holy Spirit convicted me that day. I mean, it was so hard on me. I mean, all over me, like white on rice. I'm like you said, like dark on midnight.
Hold on. Are you describing the conflict of trying to be comfortable with man's armor and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gave you God's armor? Is this the conflict?
Oh, I mean, yes. I mean, I had felt like I could do this myself.
Yep.
And suddenly the Holy Spirit was saying to me, you've been trying to do this on your own and you can't.
Perfect.
You need God. And we walked out of church service. And I was just, he was convicting me all day. And we came back to night service. And I literally walked in and grabbed the pastor by his shoulders. And I said, I need to get saved right now, right now. And I believe that the repentance, had already come.
He may not have, it's possible he didn't understand what you were saying.
Well, he looked at me and he said, you know, you're already saved. And I said, oh, no, I'm not. I'm not. You know, I know that I'm not. And he just, yeah. And he looked at me in the eyes and realized how serious I was, grabbed his wife. We went into the back room and I literally fell. I mean, I just fell apart and cried. I mean, I was on the floor, you know, crying out to God. And I demanded.
What was his reaction to this? Because he thought you were saved by repeating the prayer.
Right, exactly. And he and his wife cried. He and his wife both cried at that time when they saw
That's
me get saved.
That's a great reaction.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, it was. But I say all this to say to you, anyone, you know, who is listening, is, you know, to certainly go to that and be sure, you know, if you are trying to work through your salvation, work your way there in any way of your own, look to your own heart and say, do I know that I'm saved? Not because I repeated a prayer, but because I truly repented and turned myself over to God. I'm
Amen.
Allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work in me. I'm
so
not trying to do it myself.
Let me interrupt. You're saying then that you right then, when you got those two with you, you crossed the bridge from living in man's armor to living in God's armor.
Right. Now, understand that afterwards I realized I really didn't need them there.
But you may have saved their soul, not you, but the Holy Spirit through you may have convicted them.
Exactly, and that's what I was just about to say. It's possible that God wanted me to wait until that evening because he wanted the Holy Spirit to see that. He wanted that to be a witness. Yeah.
No,
it's very
I
possible.
Agree. I never heard that part of it, that they broke down. What I'm saying, folks, is there are be careful. And how do you guard against this? Because these people were sincere. You guard against it by, are you comparing what they say and what Raven and I say with the Bible? If Carl and Raven are not giving you scripture today, we're wasting your time. We're a danger to your soul. You compare everything we say to the verses we give you, and you make sure that we're going on God's armor. This is the whole reason for this program that I've been doing. We want to get people away from man's armor, which feels good. It sounds good. It's good to the flesh.
Yes.
It tastes good. It's good for pride. It's go back and let's look at that Colossians again that Raven said. This stuff is attractive, folks, or it would not sell.
Yes.
Wherefore, if you're dead with Christ, meaning you are dead from the rudiments of the world, don't go back to the same rudiments. Anything that is not Jesus Christ and him crucified and the Holy Spirit's word, which are they're synonymous, Jesus Christ and him crucified is the Holy Spirit's word in 66 chapters. If it's not that, folks, it's wrong.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that if I am not preaching and teaching that our conversation is wrong. I'm saying it is wrong. I'm not saying that unless I'm reading the scripture, I'm wrong. I'm saying don't make any teaching or any sermon about anything other than what the Holy Spirit says in his word. That is wrong. People are saying to me, then you're saying all I can do is read scripture. I never said that. But make sure what you're reading is based on the scripture. That is basing your reading on God's armor, not man's armor. And Raven can tell you, even as a believer, it is so easy to be sucked into that again. That's why Paul says, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Who pulled the wool over your eyes?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Now, in case that hasn't convicted you, we'll look at Galatians 3:3. Again, why are you so foolish? And this is the Holy Spirit inspired every word. You began in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, saying now you want to be made perfect by the flesh. It's just a natural thing in our life. Raven, read Galatians 5:17. This is a natural thing in our life. This is a natural part of Adam and Eve's fall.
For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
Do you see where that battle starts the moment you're saved? Why do I say that?
Oh, yeah.
Before you're saved, you don't have a battle. Even on your holiest day, which is a contradiction, even on your best religious day, you're walking in 100% the flesh.
Yes.
Once you're born again, truly, like Raven says she was that night, now a battle sets up you've never had. Now the Holy Spirit is warring against this flesh. And the flesh is not something that wants to start another mafia or open up another, Playboy clubs or anything like that. The flesh is what starts off with wanting you to live by man's armor, man's rules, man's religious education, man's commandments. You got to join this church. You got to have this Bible. And I've actually been told that in two churches I've been in. They looked at my NIV and said, we don't want that book in here. How can we get to this point, folks? If I brought another book in, a Book of Mormon or the Quran or something like that, I can understand them saying, we'd rather you not bring that. But to tell a person to take the book away, they're man's armor. You've got to be baptized in water or you're not saved. That is not biblical. I defy anybody to show me that. Do you get baptized in water? Yes. It is just like communion. You're recognizing when you get baptized. I watched a baptism today, and they put him under the water. And they said, you're now dying with Christ on the cross. And when they lifted him up out of the water, they said, now you are, this is signifying that the Holy Spirit that has now entered you, you're born again, is now you're living a new life in the Spirit. That's what baptism is. It's exactly like communion, remembering what Christ did for you. But there are religious, there are denominations, no, I won't even say denominations. There are people in Christian churches, and they may even be saved, but they're gambling that you got to repeat a prayer. You got to be baptized, and then they argue about how you're baptized. Folks, you need one thing. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Mark 1:15. Repent and believe the gospel. That's not Carl that wrote it. It's in red. Carl doesn't write in red. That's Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. Once you've done that, then don't, Carl, go back to the foolish stupidity that you willingly put yourself in for 10 years. You see, is this making sense, folks?
Boy, it sure is, Carl.
Raven. Okay, so you're the one now we'll play. I'm the devil. You're the read four to me. You're talking to me. You're saying you're trying to now be made perfect by the flesh, which is man's armor. Go ahead and read four, Galatians.
Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?
What do you mean by vain?
In other words, Christ meant nothing to you.
Yep. Why are you going through it again? Read 2 John 7 through 11. 2 John 7 through 11. Why do you want to go back to this? Why do you want to even take part with these other people? Well, I got to go because that's where the fish are. No. Listen to 2 John 7:11. If you know what's wrong and you're staying there, you're as guilty as the ones preaching a false doctrine.
Yep. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
Amen.
Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son.
Now, listen
if
to that.
If anyone...
That's, hold on. That's written to believers, folks. It's an epistle. If you get to the point where you do not abide, that means you don't stay there. You go back to believing in something in addition to Christ or something in place of Christ. You don't any longer have God. Don't tell me that's not an eternal consequence. Do we all fall into this occasionally? Yes, that was why Romans 7 was written. Wake us up that this danger is there, but don't stay there. There are eternal consequences, possibly. Now, can Carl say who is and who isn't? No, the Bible never gives me that parameter. That's not my job. It's just telling me, Carl, if you stay in the flesh and the beggarly elements in Colossians 2, 20 through 23, and you refuse to go back to the Spirit, you could end up on the wrong side of eternity.
Yep.
Now, Raven, read that again, what you just read in 2 John. I want people to see this is talking to believers. You wouldn't tell an unbeliever this because they're already going to hell as an unbeliever.
Well, and you know, we're supposed to not listen to those who preach falseness to us. You said, you know, you got to go where the fish are. Yes, we do have to go where the fish are, but we don't fish for pastors. We fish for the people that are out in the world that don't know
Very
Christ.
Very good point.
You know, that have never heard him.
When I use this phrase, go where the fish are, I'm criticizing myself because you know that I have deliberately stayed with a ministry that was preaching false doctrine, justifying it because that's where I had a Bible study. You know I did that wrong.
Right. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And the Holy Spirit hit me in the, okay, I know. So what I'm saying here, folks, when you know something's wrong, don't make
right.
the excuse like Carl did. Well, I got to stay there or I'll lose this Bible. So what? Read 2 John.
Right.
Read, was it 10 and 11 again? 10 and 11.
Yep. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, which is the doctrine of Christ, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds.
Folks, that's not Raven saying it. That's not Carl saying it. That's the Holy Spirit who inspired every word. Don't doubt him. Doubt me. Doubt anything. Don't doubt the Holy Spirit. You see where this Raven, is this tying in with Galatians 3, 1 through 5?
Oh, yeah.
To you? Read verse 5.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead and read.
Do you know what I have? Do you know what I have as a cross reference to this? Matthew 5, 29 and 30. Matthew 5, 29 and 30.
Read it.
And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell.
Well, you don't realize, Raven, I can't leave the church. My family goes there. My wife goes there. My boss goes
Tough
there.
Toodles.
Come on, man. What do you ask? No, I'm serious.
Yes.
I won't mention her last name, but you remember a girl named Terry. She told me about two to three years ago. She was in a church, and this conviction came over her as there was a sermon, or she read or something, that she's got to get out of this. She's got to get, and she thought, but I'm going to lose my friends. I'm going to lose some people that are even part of my family. And she told me how hard it was to make that decision. Better you cut your hand off. He's not telling you if you go do something wrong, cut your hand off. That's stupid. He's just showing you nothing is worth saying in false doctrine. I don't care if you're crushing your ministry. Get out of it.
Right.
I didn't do it. I'm confessing again. And this is not a program to beat Carl up. I don't get any pleasure out of that. I'm saying I made these mistakes. I'm almost 80.
Right.
If you can save yourself from going down these paths, don't. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to
right.
let you listen to my true confession. I'm showing you at my advanced age, I look back and see what I did wrong. Please guard against it for your own self. That's my only motive here.
I think what Carl's trying to say and what I try to say as well is, you know, we're not those, we're standing up on a pedestal, you know, 6 feet higher than you so we can talk down to you, you know, like many pastors will do, and not all, you know, not all do that. There are many out there who say, hey, we're no more perfect than you are. But there are some out there who will say, oh, you know, nothing has ever touched my, you know, nothing evil has ever touched my lips, you know. And
who said that?
But,
Peter.
But,
Peter said that. Peter.
Yeah. Yep. And but this is the point that we say, you know, we're not perfect, and you know, we'll gladly admit that we're not perfect, and the point is, we even say that. Listen, the reason that we get so many of our, so much of our teaching is that we've been through these things. We understand.
Amen.
You know, we're not preaching just to you. We're preaching to ourselves here, you know.
Perfect. That's exactly what I'm saying. In other words,
yep.
I invested in a company that went bankrupt 4 times. Don't invest any money in them.
Right. Yep.
Okay, no,
you know, there's
really
an old saying. There's an old saying, insanity
yes.
is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Don't do it.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. No,
follow
that,
Christ.
Raven, on my video this week, I use that Einstein's statement. Insanity
Did you?
Is doing the same thing. Yeah, use and expect different results. Yes, I used that on
right.
yesterday morning. At 5 o'clock, I did my third video for the week, which is why I attempted to keep going three
right.
a week. And I use that exact statement. Don't make
yeah.
the same mistake. That's the only good thing about old age. Let me tell you something. Anybody who says these are the golden years, 80 years old, either you are extremely fortunate or your eyes, you don't judge color well because it ain't golden. But one good thing about being just about 80, folks, I can look back at so many of these warnings and say, Carl, you had this happen to you because as a believer, you now are going and trying to live by man's armor rather than God's armor. Man's armor
yeah.
sounds good. Raven led that in Colossians. It sounds good.
Yes.
In fact, let me go back to that there in Colossians. Just bear with me. This was very good in Colossians. It was exactly how I used to feel. You subject yourself to ordinance. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. And all of these things will perish with
yes.
using, as with the commandments of men will perish. These things have a show of wisdom. They do have a show of wisdom. Even as a believer, I went back to that stupidity. Don't do it. I think we're making the point. Let's go ahead and read
yeah.
verse 5 of Galatians 3 again.
All right.
This
Let
is
me
where
get
we
back
gotta
there.
We got to end up, folks. We got to end up today. Do you see where you're starting to have the tendency to go to man's armor occasionally? Listen to verse 5 as your final warning.
Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, let me put a little aside there.
No, you're
just
right.
For those of
you're
you,
right.
Just for those of you who don't believe that God still works miracles, underline, and works miracles among you, because
yeah, okay.
he still does
okay.
that.
Yep.
Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
which is God's armor. Does he do it by man's armor? Well, I combine them. No, you can't. It's one or the other, folks. It's a teeter-totter. You don't have both sides of a teeter-totter at your local playground down at the same time unless it's broken. You don't have both up at the same time. You either have one or the other. It's your choice. Deal or no deal.
Yes.
Remember Howie Mandel? Deal or no deal. Folks, and no choice is a choice. No choice is a choice. Oh, I'm going to have to think about this. Hey, go ahead. You're flirting, you're holding fire in your lap. You're holding fire in your lap, and you know it. But you don't realize the consequences of me changing. Yes, I do. I was 43 years old, and I was even at the point of being accepted into a seminary in the very church that I left at 43 years old. I know how you feel. What are your kids going to think? What are all your relatives going to think? You know, here you are, the great holy one. You're going to be in the ministry, and now you're saying it's, oh, hey, I understand the problem. But is it worth it? Is it worth it?
Amen.
Are you going to gamble on not getting out of that? Are you going to gamble on God looking at you and saying, Carl, because you took part in this false doctrine, you're as guilty of the sin as what they are? You don't want to do that. Better cut your hand off. That was a good one. Matthew 5, 29 and 30 that she brought up. I want you to seriously put that in with Galatians 3, 1 through 5, as well as Colossians 2, 20 through 23. You've got to do this, folks. This is not whether Raven's right or wrong. Who really cares? And honestly, none of us really care whether the other one's right or wrong. What we care about is your soul. Don't make these mistakes. Don't go down a path that's going to lead to a cliff and you're going to drive over it. Rather, be warned not to go down that street. All right. So we're saying here, don't go back to man's armor. How do you do that?
Amen.
You can't do anything. Remember Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. You have to rely on his ability. His ability. He's the only one that can keep you from going into places you shouldn't go. Someone asked me, Raven, and you might have been there, what is the purpose of angels? All I can tell you is what Hebrews says. They're ministering spirits. The angels do watch over us. There are certain things, even the Bible doesn't call it this, but the Bible states there are angels who minister to believers on earth. There are guardian angels. I believe that. I've had three or four times in my life where I should have been killed. I stopped from doing something and had no idea why I stopped until I saw a disaster happen and I wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Why do you want to continue? Why do you want to risk this thing in your life? Now, Raven, this may sound disjointed with Galatians 3, 1 through 5, but read Galatians 3, 6.
Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Absolutely. People think that Abraham was all about the law, but he followed by faith as well.
Hold on, Raven, you're right. The law didn't come for 430 years after Abraham, so he wasn't right because he obeyed the Ten Commandments. He believed God, and we all sing in church, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But when we say that you now got to go back to obeying the law, you got to go back to obeying the church law. You got to, if you're not baptized by being immersed in water, you're not saved. You're really going to live by that, folks? No, don't do it. Abraham believed God. You see, naturally I believe God. No, you don't. Not if you're doing what Carl did for 10 or 12 years. You're now starting to take man's armor as opposed to God's armor. I was reading commentaries rather than the Bible. I was reading articles and workbooks and studying them rather than the Bible. No, go back to the Bible, because these things were pointing me away from Christ, even though it was in a church. It would point me to things like, you've got to get better. You've got to resist temptation. You've got to stop sinning. That is impossible. I'm dead. I can't do it. Once you're alive in Christ, you can, but only through him can you do it. Remember what he said, even as a believer, John 15:5, you can't bear fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. And that anything is fruit. Doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and on a PGA course and get 18 holes in one. That's insanity. Or get all the lottery numbers. No. When he says you can do nothing without me, it's referring to what he says in John 15:5, bear fruit. Overcoming sin and temptation is bearing fruit. I can't do it my own strength. Don't go back to man's armor. Get away from man's armor. It's a danger. You're holding a 4th of July skyrocket that's going to blow up in your hands. I don't know if any of you are football fans, but there was a fellow, I believe it was the year after they won the Super Bowl, the following July 4th, a football player who had literally had, I know, one finger blown off of his hand, and he missed a couple of seasons, or at least I know he missed one full season. Why do you want to hold a firecracker that's lit? Believe God. Abraham believed God. When you're doing what Raven sensed that night when she went back and said, I want salvation, she realized that she wasn't obeying God because she was following man's prescriptions. Is that not right?
Yep. Absolutely.
That story, but Raven, you told that story, but I want you to tell it from now on where the minister and his wife broke down. That is important as... Because that, I think God used that to convert them. These poor people,
folks who are in the ministry,
they may not be truly saved, but God is still working on them.
Right.
And we're not to judge whether they're saved or not.
Right. But
now, let's talk about
eternal.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say it. You know, I was doing everything I could to try to be as good as what I thought everyone was around me. I was trying to be holy, trying to be good, trying to be righteous in my own flesh.
You're right.
It was impossible. It's impossible. I was like Paul said, you know, according to the law, I was blameless. You know, I mean, I was... I didn't cuss. I didn't do anything wrong. At least that's what I thought. You know, I was just so up on a pedestal. You know, I just thought nothing bad was that. I didn't do anything wrong. I was so perfect, and I was so wrong, and God just showed me that day that I was a complete and total mess.
All right. I'm interrupting you. In that mess you are in, if you did not heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit that morning when you came back that night, read Matthew 7:21-23. You might have made it up here. Read it.
Yes.
These are religious.
Not
folks.
Everyone
These
who says
folks.
To me, Lord.
Yeah.
Not
Lord.
Everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then
these
I will declare
are,
to him,
hold on,
I
these,
never
hold on, these people,
knew you. Depart
hold
from
on,
me,
these people are
you
church
who practice
goers,
lawlessness.
These people are churchgoers. They're all, they also are in the ministry. The ministry man gave them, not called by God. They're in the ministry. they're doing these things. And what does he say at the very end? This verse is the saddest verse I've ever seen in Scripture. Read 23.
Yes. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
And that depart, folks, is goodbye. It's over. As Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. It's over.
Yes.
When he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Raven, if she did not heed that conviction that morning, she may be in this position, folks.
Yes.
All right.
Oh,
let's read another warning. If you don't change, if you don't take the heeding of the Holy Spirit, even as a believer, folks, when as a believer you go into this, which I did, the Holy Spirit is going to constantly convict you. But it's your choice whether you pay attention to that conviction or you don't. It is your choice whether you listen to that conviction. Trust me. It is our choice. Let's say Raven didn't. She might have heard these words already. Depart from me, I never knew you. Now, I want to go to Galatians 5, Raven, and I want you to read 1, 2, and 4 again. This is a warning. This is not Carl saying they're going to hell. I didn't say that. This is the Holy Spirit warning you.
Okay. Where did you say to go, Galatians 5?
5, 1, 2, and 4. This is the Holy Spirit, not Carl.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, baptized, follow the law, Christ will profit you nothing. You have become, for if we, you said 1, 2, and what? Four? Oh, four. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace.
This is not saying don't obey the law. This is not, hold on, this is not saying don't be baptized. This is saying don't put your faith in anything other than Christ. Because you can be baptized, you can be confirmed, you can be ordained and not be a believer.
That's right.
Or you could be a believer who is wallowing in this cesspool of man's armor as opposed to God's armor. That's where I was. I've been both. I've been Matthew 7:23, where I was very religious and an unbeliever, but I've been a believer who determined that I now wanted to go back to man's armor rather than God's. Don't do it. It could have eternal consequences. Now, let's give a verse that shows it could have eternal consequences. Read Hebrews 3:12. Could have.
Three.
This is not saying that it does or that Raven is, that I'm judging her. I can't judge. God never gave me that job. He's given me enough things to do. I don't have to worry about the things he hasn't given me the ability to do.
Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Departing.
If you do not ever change and you keep going in and die in man's armor, this is a warning. Well, you have no right to. I didn't say this. The Holy Spirit wrote it. Get away from what I say. Who cares what I think? Honestly, even my wife, truly, in the face of eternity, I don't think she really cares what I think in the face of eternity. I'm being honest about this. Neither should she. But what she's got to do, if I'm giving her scripture or she's giving me scripture, the other one has got to realize that's the words of the Holy Spirit. Don't blow it off. Well, I don't like his preaching. Fine. What about the words of the Bible? I'm trying to turn people away from man. I don't want you taking what Raven and I said. I want you only to compare it to the scripture. Read 17:11 of Acts. This is very repetitive, but it all applies, folks. You've got to do this. You've got to weigh everything we say under the microscope of God's word, not man's commentary or man's workbook.
Yes, amen. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so.
How did they filter it? The scripture. All right, now,
amen.
To all of you who are saved, truly born again, you are a minister in the New Testament. You are a minister in the New Testament. You are a minister. Doesn't mean you have the spiritual gift of pastor, teacher, but you have a spiritual gift, at least one. You are in the ministry of the New Testament. Read Acts 20:28. This is a warning. God tells us who are responsible for helping his souls. Read what he says here. Acts 20:28.
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Raven, what is there that you really like to do other than the scripture? I mean, is there something you do, somebody like, you know, Joanne? I think Joanne likes doing crafts, I think. Is there something you really take pride in doing? I don't know, artwork or writing or?
Oh, yeah, I'm very creative. I write, I paint, I crochet.
Okay, good, stop. You paint. I come over to your house, and you've got writing, and you show me maybe 100 pages of loose leaf where you've done creative writing, and you put in, let's say, 100 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Carl do? Carl comes over and sees some paint, doesn't care, takes his coat off, throws it across the couch, and all of a sudden I knock all this paint over all your 100 pages of writing. And you're going to say to me in your own mind, don't you even understand of how much effort I put into this? Think of that, really.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
just come in and throw your coat haphazardly. Don't you realize the effort I put into this? That's what God's saying. You're going to be.
Right.
You're not going to take heat. You're going to shepherd the sheep of my pasture that I paid for with my own blood. Does that make sense?
Right.
The seriousness.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Me? Okay. We're down to our 90-second, and I didn't realize because mine says I got a minute and 10, 18. Why don't you go ahead and say a final prayer, and we're done.
All right. Father, we thank you so much for what you do through this program. We know that you are reaching people for Christ, that there are people that listen and they hear your word, and the Holy Spirit is teaching them things that we never could, that in our own wisdom and in our own understanding, we are incapable of doing anything, Lord. And it is only through us giving ourselves to you that anything is done during this time. And we're just so thankful that you have blessed us to be able to come to you, Lord, that you have given us the Holy Spirit as a counselor, a comforter, a teacher, to reach out to people, and that you have allowed this ministry to thrive, Lord. And we just thank you and give you glory, because we know that it is because of you that there are people being reached. We ask that as we go, as this program goes out and it reaches people in the next week or in the future months, that there will be more that will listen and that will hear from your Holy Spirit, and that he will continue to teach others. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, folks. We're running a little late, but thank you for listening. Thank you, Raven, for helping.